It's good that you are all here this morning. We are working through a series on spiritual gifts. And, you know, I was thinking about today, and as I was thinking about a mountain. Actually, I was thinking about this mountain here. This is Mount Siam. Does anybody know where Mount Siam is? Okay, it's in Chilliwack. Anybody been up Mount Siam in Chilliwack? Nobody. Oh man, you've missed out. So here's the thing. For years, I wanted to climb this mountain because it's my home city where I was born and raised. And I've climbed it once many, many, many years ago. And I thought, you know what? It would be really cool if I could do it again. And so I got together with a couple of friends and we tackled this thing a few weeks back. So I've got a little bit of a video showing the progress of this tackling of Mount Siam. We had to take a vehicle up halfway. And do we have that video? Can we fire that up there? Does it work? So this is at the bottom of the mountain, just before you get up there. Yeah, that's me, just before I'm going to die. And there was snow up there. That's important for you to realize.
It's a long way down there. Second.
Is that the top?
All right. Let's see if we can make it without dying. That heavy breathing? Yeah. You'll understand if you're here.
So I'm actually moving this fast. No, I'm not.
Wow. Holy smokes. We've done it.
Woohoo!
Wow.
What a view, eh? There's me on the top. Took me an hour and 45 minutes to get up there. A lot left to get down here. Why? Now that was fun. I'm in shorts, okay? You see those hairy legs of mine?
Cold. Ouch! That was a rock.
Yeah, I ran into a rock. Not a good thing. So I showed you that not just because it was a fun day, and for those that are interested in doing it, it's worth doing it. Let's plan a day. But I showed you that because we're talking today about some of the giftings, and we're talking about the motivation gifts here this morning. And I've called this peak motivation. You get it? Peak. We're standing on the peak. But I want to look at four giftings this morning, and really, I think these are such an important part of the church to really get us motivated in the things of God. And they are the gift of perception, the gift of encouragement, the gift of administration, and the gift of kindness. And we're going to look at these gifts. I brought my glasses today, so I don't have to call somebody up here this morning. We're going to look at these gifts in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read just verses 6 to 8. Why don't we stand for the reading of God's word here this morning? Romans chapter 12. And this is what it says. Man, these are dirty. Wow. It says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. And if it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Now, you see there's more than four in there, and the second part of that will be next week, and Pastor Manveer is going to lead us in that. But let's just go to prayer right now. Father, thank you for these gifts. Thank you that you've instilled them in the church, in the body, to encourage us, to motivate us, to be a blessing to others, and to bring glory to your name. And as we look into it here this morning, I pray, help us to have ears to hear, help us to have minds to understand, and God, help us have the will to assimilate and to put into practice that which we hear so that you would be glorified, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's talk about these four gifts here this morning. Let's talk about, first of all, the gift of perception. That is, the gift basically is one who clearly perceives the will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us." Let me just stop there for a minute. I want us to understand that God has given gifts according to his grace. He has given it to us according to what he sees appropriate in our lives. And here's what happens so many times. We come to God and we make demands, don't we? Right? Sometimes we come to God, maybe none of you, but I've seen it, where we make demands. God, I demand that you answer this prayer. I demand a new car. We had an issue this week. Bought brand new tires on our SUV. And they cost us money. They cost money. You have to, when you replace one tire, you've got to replace four on an all-wheel drive. And we bought these tires. Michelle comes home, and when she comes home, there's a flat. Can you imagine that? I took them back, and I found out they sold me a tire that already had a slash in it, which is not a good thing. So anyways, we got new tires. But we demand certain things. That was for free. I threw that in for free. We demand certain things from God. And I thought about it, and I thought, really? Really? Who are we to demand anything from God? See, it's His grace. His grace that has brought us to this place, folks, that has sustained us through some of the challenges that we go through in life. It is His grace that brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. And we need to be grateful for the grace and mercy of God. We should be asking, requesting things from God. We should be saying, God, we need these things in our life and interceding. But let's never forget that it's God's grace that has given us what we have today, and we need to be grateful for that. So He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, if a woman's gift is prophesying, let them use it in proportion to his faith. And the word here is prophecy, and it also can be looked at as a word of perception, perceiving things from God. And we've talked about prophecy in the past. We've talked about a prophet last week. I mentioned that. And the importance of hearing from God and passing that on to others. And see, if God's given you that ability, He's put things in your mind. He's given you a perception in certain circumstances. Man, you got to use that gift. You got to use it. You got to proclaim it. You got to be willing to challenge others and encourage others according to that gift. He says you got to use it in proportion of your faith. I like that word proportion. Actually, in the original, it refers to math. How many of you like math here this morning? You do. Well, hallelujah. It refers to ratios and comparison. It's like this equation. If x equals 12 and y equals 7, then 2x over 5 plus y over 12 minus 13 over 2xy equals 4xy minus 6y8. How many of you know the answer to that? I made it up, okay? There is no answer to that equation. But it's proportion. It's proportion. Using our gifts in proportion to the faith that we have. And see, here's the thing that we often do. We often compare ourselves not according to what God wants us to compare ourselves to, but we compare ourselves to others. If you jump to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, and here it's so important when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. It says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. In the measure, the proportion of faith God has given you. Think of those in those ways. Don't put yourself on a pedestal. Hey, listen, I've got this great gift and it's better than yours. Because see, that's not the way it works. God has given every gift in a way that will strengthen the body. And we need to use them in a proportion of our faith. What do we compare ourselves to? There are those that say, man, I look like this guy right here. Yeah? I look like Arnold. Arnold. Hey, by the way, this is when he took steroids when he was young. I got a great picture of him today. He's changed just a bit. Yeah, after steroids. We look at ourselves and we compare ourselves in strength. We compare ourselves in looks. We wonder, but we've got this great smile. Maybe it's something like Julia Roberts. She's got a great smile. But we look at it, we compare ourselves, we compare ourselves in wisdom, and we think, man, if we could only be like Einstein and have the, that's my favorite picture of Einstein with him sticking out his tongue. I love that. But we compare ourselves to many things. And God says, that's not wise. He says, he's basically telling us here that we need to use the giftings and compare ourselves with the things that God wants us to compare ourselves with. Judge ourselves according to his word. God, where am I at? How am I using your giftings? I'm not looking at how the other person is using them, but I want to look at what I'm doing with what you have given me, and am I doing it in a way that honors you? Back to Romans 12:3. Think of yourself with sober judgment. God, help me to consider who I am, what you've placed in me, and how am I using it? How am I using it to honor you? The gift of perception. If God's giving you that gift, folks, please, use it. Use it. The P in our peak, motivation. The E is a gift of encouragement. It says here in verse 8, if it is encouraging, let him encourage. Don't you love people that are people of encouragement? Don't you love it when people come around to you and they just want to encourage you? Pastor Nicole's not here right now. She's upstairs. But one thing I've learned from her and I appreciate in her is that I believe she has this gift. And what she will do is she will say things when we're having a staff meeting or when we're talking, things like, you know what, we really need to write a card to so-and-so and give them a gift certificate or something because they've put a little extra work, and she goes out of her way to try to be an encourager to others. Folks, we need this gift. We need it so much because, see, here's what happens. We go through life so many times getting slammed, and people think they have the gift of discouragement or the gift of picking you apart and whatever. Those aren't gifts. Those aren't gifts. We need somebody to come alongside us and say, hey, you can do this. And by the way, the gift of encouragement isn't just coming up to someone and giving them a hug and say, attaboy, you're a good person. Yeah. There are times where we have to say, you can do it a little bit better. I know you've got it in you to do this a little bit different. Don't stay there. Go a little further. Can you imagine, Pastor Lucas, can you imagine if you had a worship team or you're leading a band or a choir or something like that, because I know you do lots of that, and can you imagine somebody in that band was playing the guitar and was playing it completely wrong, or was playing the drums way off beat, or was playing a music teacher. Can you imagine the first day of class and they're playing their horns? I don't know how you guys do it. Liz, like seriously, can you imagine your first day of class and everybody starts playing, you going, that is awesome, well done, yeah, just keep it up like that. I mean, I'm thinking after 2-3 months, if they kept doing that, they'd probably be questioning your teaching ability. I'm thinking, right? We want to encourage people to be better, to be stronger, to do more for, and that's not always easy to take. It's not always easy for someone to come up to you and say, man, you're doing good, but here's some areas you can do better in. That's encouragement. That's the gift that God wants to pour into his church. And if you've got that, can I encourage you? See how I did that right there? Can I encourage you to use your encouragement to encourage others? You following me? We need to utilize this gift, the gift of encouragement. Okay, so we've got P, perception. E is encouragement. A is the gift of administration. It says here in verse 8 of Romans 12 that if it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If you jump to 1 Corinthians 12:28, it actually refers to this as being the gift of administration. I am so glad for people that have administrative minds. Thank you. Hallelujah. Therese, I can't do it without you. I really, really can't. And you know what? Let's just be honest. Janet, you know that, there she goes, underneath the chair. You know that in district office, how invaluable you are. The people that have this gift are so important in the church. Administration is an interesting word here in the original because it refers to a shipmaster or a captain. A shipmaster or a captain. It refers to someone that's steering a ship. Someone that knows which way that should be going and where you should be avoiding. Like, if we didn't have proper administration, we'd be going in circles, right? We all want to do something. We want to do something great. But if we don't know where we're at and where we want to go and how to get there, we've got a problem. And we will find ourselves going in circles. Administrators, they're good strategic thinkers. They are organized. Hallelujah. Not like me. I have an issue there. They have supervisory skills. They manage projects and people well. And if God's given you that gift, can I encourage you? We need administrators. We need good administrators to help us with finances, to help us administrate some meetings. We need administrators to help us in the children's church, to help us get the project started and moved along and completed. We need administrators within the church. But see, I think this gift is not just for the church. I think this gift is also for the home as well, don't you think? Right? We need good administrators in the home. I love what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 to 5. It's talking about proper leadership and administration of a man. It says this, especially about deacons. He must manage his own family well. Do you see that? Manage that whole council of administration, his family well, and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's family? There's got to be clear administration in the home. And moms, I just want to honor you. I know it's not Mother's Day today, but I just want to honor you. Because let's be honest, you have an incredible quality when it comes to administration. So it starts like this. Correct me if I'm wrong, okay? But it starts like this. You get up in the morning, and the baby's crying. So you run in there and you change a diaper, but now you've got to deal with the other kids that got to get ready to school. So you get them out of bed and they're fighting you every step of the way, but you get to pull the covers off and you chase them downstairs and you get them to eat breakfast and they spill milk on the floor. So you got to clean up the milk, and as you're cleaning up the milk, you're running over to the fridge and you're getting the bottle out and you're making the bottle for baby, and as you're making the bottle for baby, you got to make lunches because lunch has got to be done. So you get the lunches done and you're thinking, okay, did you refinish your report from yesterday that you got to hand them to school today? So you go run upstairs and make sure that they got the report. Do they have their backpack together? Do they have their books? You got your books, you got to put your books in a chair in the backpacks, and you run to the backpack and you grab the backpack, and from there you run to the school. Oh, wait a minute, you forgot the kid back at home. Run back at home, grab your baby, take the baby, put him back, and you run to school, and then, oh yeah, you forgot to change. Go back home and get ready and get changed, get dressed, and during the day while they're in school, you're taking care of baby, making sure baby's fine. You got to prepare supper. Oh shoot, the dishwasher's not working. You got to wash the dishes because dad hasn't fixed the dishwasher yet. So you run back home and you're washing dishes, and then you got to go and you prepare and buy gifts because there is a birthday party coming up for one of the kids. Then you got to make sure that all the invitations get out. And then dad comes home. Yeah, and then dad comes home, and he's tired because he's worked all day. So you got to make him supper, because you do nothing all day, right? Oh, give it up for moms. Come on, come on. Oh, my goodness. But see, here's the thing. We need you, moms, but we need administrators. We need people in the church that know how to administrate and help people follow through. So here's the thing I want to encourage you with. When it comes to administration, a few things that you need to ask yourself. And if you can answer yes to any of these things, maybe this is your gift. Where there's no clear leader, do you often find people turning to you to make decisions? When you see poor organization, does it drive you crazy? I know of some people like that. I won't mention any names, Teresa. Do you get excited about working on projects? Does getting people organized and keeping things moving smoothly come naturally to you? Do you tend to be a bit of a type A personality? I'm not a type A. Next slide. I think there's more than that. Is that it? Okay, if this is you, if this is who you are, maybe this is a gift that God has given you. Can I encourage you? Use that gift to honor God, the gift of administration. So we've got, when we look at peak motivation, we've got, what's the first one? Perception. What's the second one? Encouragement. Third, administrate. Just seeing if you're with me. The fourth gift I want to talk to you about is the gift of kindness. Here's what it says in Romans 12, verse 8. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Or I love the way the New Living Translation puts it. If you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Do it gladly. The gift of kindness is the ability to show compassion, to show love and care for those who are in need. See, people that have this gift have an uncanny ability to see the difference between sympathy and empathy. The difference between sympathy and empathy. See, sympathy is the ability to go up to someone and say to them, "You've had such a hard day. I'm so sorry about that." She hates it when I do that. I'll pray for you, and we turn around and walk away. Now, that's okay, because sometimes we need some stroking. It's okay. But the gift of empathy says, "I see that you are hungry. I see that you need food. Let me feed you." She brought an apple. There you go, dear. You've got to eat it now in church. And let me not just give you some food, but let me give you some seeds that you can sow more food. Let me help you to do something practical so you can get from here to there. See, that's what the gift of kindness is all about. That's the gift that Jesus showed when he fed the 5,000, wasn't it? Here he has 5,000 men, women and children on top of that. He's got a crowd. And it's late. You remember the scripture, it's late. And the disciples are saying, "Man, we got to chase these guys out of here or they're not going to survive. They haven't eaten all day and it's not looking good for them." And Jesus could have come up to them and put his hands over the people and said, "I bless you in the name of me, and go out and have a good afternoon." And he could have sent them out. But he didn't do that, did he? He first of all, he gave them spiritual nourishment. He fed them spiritually. But then he fed them physically as well. I would have loved to have been there. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Can you imagine being there at that time to see this little boy bring this little lunch to Jesus, and Jesus taking those little loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they weren't sockeye, and they weren't spring. I went fishing this week, and I caught one sockeye, but the next day, Dave, I know I digress, but you'll put up with me for a second. The next day, Dave went out and he got a 13-pound spring salmon on the second cast. I fished 6 hours to get one fish, and he gets it in 2 casts. Anyway, that's beside the point. It wasn't a large fish. There were 2 small fish. And can you imagine Jesus breaking that? Can you imagine what that would have looked like? He broke it and he gave that person the piece, and they broke it. "Oh, wait a minute, I've got more here. Wow, I've got more." And they just kept passing and kept passing and kept... 5,000, man. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I can eat. I can pack it in. We were at a wedding last night, and we ate. We ate well. And they ate well because it said they were all satisfied. And it wasn't just the men, it was the women, it was the kids. They all ate. See, here's the point. The point is, when God gives you the gift of kindness, when God gives you this ability to show compassion, he multiplies it. He passes it on. It becomes something greater. We may start with something small and we go, "God, how could this ever make a difference?" I think about this book that I've been reading right now, The Insanity of God. I encourage you to read it. And I think about this author, one guy and his wife and a small group of people that fed every single day 50,000 people. How is that possible? Other than God intervention. So here's the thing, folks, God has given you gifts. And I say this every Sunday, and I encourage you with this. Take them and use them, because you have no idea how he can multiply that to be a blessing to others around you. Don't be afraid to utilize what God has given you. Use it here in the church. Use it in your home. Use it in your community. Use it in your world, because people are hungry. Hungry for truth. They're hungry for some encouragement. They're hungry for some motivation. I believe God wants to take us to mountaintops. I believe that. And I also know it's not going to be easy. You saw the video at the beginning. It looked pretty easy at the last part. Just kind of... It wasn't that easy. It really wasn't. It took a lot of work. And it's going to take work for us to get where God wants us to be. But that's the exciting thing, because he's with us every step of the way. So, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you would help us, that we would utilize that which you've instilled in our lives to make a difference for your kingdom, to be an encouragement to others. Father, I pray that we wouldn't hide our gifts, as we talked about before. We wouldn't keep them subdued, but we would be open with what you've placed in us. And that you would raise up from this church many individuals that would make a difference in this community and in communities worldwide. Lord, I pray that from this church we would be sending out missionaries into places we never thought possible. But you would just enrich us with such a desire, a compassion, a willingness to be used by you, and that we would make a difference for your kingdom. Lord, we commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. We're going to